You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There's no perfect method for identifying the right general manager or head coaching candidate. But I think there is some criteria, some traits we can look for that at least make it feel like the candidate you're picking gives you the best chance for success. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today and every day. We're here for you 5 days a week. And on the show today, we'll start to look at what the Chicago Bears should want in their next general manager and head coach. Again, not that there's a perfect formula, the perfect candidate, the perfect prototype for what the head coach and general manager should look like, and not that there's a candidate that would even fit that perfect prototype. But we can talk about some of the types of things we should look for in candidates that would seem to lead to success, or at least seem to be the things the Bears should want for their organization at the top leadership positions. We'll go through some of the different front office positions and what those responsibilities entail for different candidates coming from different organizations. We'll look at some of the differences between maybe an offensive head coach, what you're looking for there as opposed to a defensive head coach, and where some of the things should be step for step with either candidate and really are universal traits among any potential head coach or general manager. Let's start with the GM because it is the superior position on the the organizational chart. It is the boss of the head coach, even though the Chicago Bears are looking at both at the same time, which I'm not crazy about. I really like the idea of giving the general manager the opportunity to hire their own head coach. And the fact that the Bears are going through head coaching interviews right now, in addition to GM interviews, I get that you don't want to fall behind, but I want my GM involved in those head coaching interviews so they can really have be that guy and be on the same page. But I also think, from our perspective on the outside, it's really, really hard to tell whether any candidate, if head coach or GM, if we're being honest, but especially GM, I think, is even harder to get a sense of, like, is this a good hire? Is this a good candidate or not? And I think a lot of Bears fans are taking that position and that attitude of, like, well, I mean, I don't know if the Cleveland Browns vice president of football operations is any good. Does he know what he's doing? I mean, maybe. How the heck can we know on the outside? Or can the New England Patriots director of scouting, how can you really, really tell whether that type of a front office person would make a good general manager candidate? And so that's what the challenge for us here is. Like, we can look at some of the decisions that they made, and I think some of it does depend on the position, right? So, like, if we're looking at, say, a pro personnel director, like the Bears are looking at the vice president of player personnel for the Cleveland Browns, Glenn Cook, interviewed on Wednesday. The San Francisco 49ers director of player personnel, Ron Carthon, is supposed to interview with them at some point here. Like, that's a position, like, the pro personnel side tends to be more like scouting free agents, scouting trade targets, scouting other teams' rosters, players that are already in the NFL and always having that short list that Ryan Pace would talk about. It's like they have a short list of players. If they decide they need to sign somebody, this is their list of guys. They already know who all the free agents are, know everything about them. And if they're looking for guys that are going to be cut by other teams at roster cut down day or guys that could be potential trade targets, that's the pro personnel side. So, of course, if you're looking at a pro personnel director or whatever their title is going to be, you would like to see a fairly strong track record of free agents, but again, there's more to being a general manager than just being able to sign free agents and trade for players and identify other talented players from other NFL teams. Same kind of thing with the college scouting directors. And again, it's hard because a lot of different teams have a lot of different titles. But, Bears are interviewing Morocco Brown, the Colts director of college scouting. Elliot Wolf, the Patriots director of scouting. Some teams will call him vice presidents of college scouting. I mean, there's different titles and different organizations make things hard to kind of piece together. But of course, like, if you're going to hire a guy who was in charge of the NFL draft for a team, you would like to see a strong track record. I mean, not that anybody has perfected the draft, but you would like to see consistency in draft outcomes from that director. So you know that when they come to Chicago, you're at least getting that kind of track record with them. But again, then if they were all focused on college scouting, how good are they at evaluating free agents? How good are they at evaluating potential trades and managing the salary cap and all those different things that come into the general manager thing? So, like, there's also the other category here is some of the guys in the middle. You have, you know, Ed Dobbs is the Colts assistant general manager the Bears are going to interview. Jeff Ireland, the Saints assistant general manager. Omar Khan, the vice president of football operations for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do those guys do exactly? They're assistant GMs. They're not in charge of the scouting. They're not in charge of the pro personnel. And in each organization, they might do different things. An assistant GM in one organization might be step for step doing everything the GM does and just being another voice for them and another person to sort of help them and still have that supervisory role over a lot of different aspects. Or in other roles, maybe there's only specific parts of the general manager decision-making. Maybe they are more salary cap focused, or maybe they are more pro scouting focused. I mean, we can't know on the outside here how each of these people operated in their respective organizations. And that's what's so difficult for us to be able to sort of pin down then, okay, how can we know whether they're actually a good candidate or not? I mean, I think regardless of their position, I'd like to see them come from an organization that's considered well-run, that seems competent, right? You know, when you see like a dysfunctional franchise, like some of the things we've seen in with Las Vegas lately, or I mean, the Houston Texans, maybe the Jaguars. I mean, you're right. You wouldn't want to take someone from one of those organizations necessarily. Or I would be off-put taking someone from one of those organizations compared to an organization like the New England Patriots or the Green Bay Packers, the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, teams that we just sort of have been consistently well-run, even if they're, you know, they make mistakes along the way, sure, but like really not a lot of like overall controversy or changes in leadership, turnover, that sort of types of thing. I'd also like to see a general manager that embraces innovation and, to some extent, analytics, right? Because we've seen that analytics do work, right? And we see people in the media and on Twitter or wherever that are like really, really into analytics and kind of go overboard and are all in analytics. And no one in the NFL is that way. So like no team has like gone overboard on being too analytics driven. It's all for every team. It's a varying degree of how much a part of their decision making is it. And generally speaking, the smarter teams tend to embrace it more and more. And I would like somebody that would embrace it and just be open-minded. I think that's sort of the big aspect. Be open-minded to analytics that, hey, maybe there is something there, maybe there isn't, but at least leave open the possibility that you could be wrong and that there could be other alternatives that could be explained by analytics or other voices in general. Like Bill Polian, who's helping the Bears with the search, has always been very anti-analytics. And that strikes me as a little bit close-minded then, as far as like, well, football is evaluated this way and those numbers can't be right. Well, I'd like an open-minded general manager, but is the guy helping making the decisions here going to be that type of open-minded? I'm not so sure. But I think overall, you want leadership, strong leadership, which is impossible to measure, but and so that's sort of just a gut feeling in interviews. But then, you know, I want a GM that comes in with a very clear direction, a very clear plan for the franchise, a clear identity of what he wants his team to look like, what he wants his team to feel like, how he wants his team to act, behave, carry themselves, all those things. Because I think, you know, when you're planning, you can only plan so far and account for so much, but that identity is the kind of thing that can last throughout. And it starts with the general manager, trickles down to the head coach, the rest of the coaching staff, then the leaders in the locker room, the rest of the players, your whole roster. I mean, it's really a critical aspect of making sure you have the right man, person, or woman. I mean, there have been female GMs before, the Browns, or so another team is, the Vikings are interviewing a potential female GM. So it's not just a man, but the right person, the right leader. It doesn't matter to me any other characteristics. Give me the leadership, the direction, the identity, and the plan. And then hopefully coming from a well-run organization and a decent track record in the department that they've worked in, that seems to me like the best possible set of circumstances to try and find that right candidate. And even then, it's hard to know whether somebody with all those things would still be the right person. And same thing goes for the coach, right? I think it's a little bit easier because we can see their results a little bit more directly on field. So we'll go through what the Bears should be looking for in a head coach, generally speaking, next on Locked On Bears. The playoffs are a fun time to get in on some sports betting, and our friends at OnlineGambling.com are here to bring you all of the latest NFL tips, news, and more to help make sure that your bets are as informed as ever. They're having us put our knowledge to the test with some early Super Bowl predictions here. And I've been kind of going back and forth on this because, I mean, I think in the NFC, the Packers and Buccaneers are going to rematch in the NFC Championship game again, and it's just going to come down to whether Matt LaFleur decides to kick the field goal again or if he lets Aaron Rodgers try and score this time around. The AFC is such a wild card, though. I mean, Chiefs is kind of where I'm at just because I don't know if I trust the Titans. I don't know if I trust, you know, the Patriots, the Bills. I mean, I don't know. But whereas the Chiefs, I think Patrick Mahomes and company could turn it on. So I'm going to go with a Packers over Chiefs Super Bowl prediction, but certainly we'll keep a close eye on those as the playoffs go through. And if you're planning on placing a bet during these playoffs, make sure you head to onlinegambling.com/NFL for all the latest gambling news, tips, and info to beat the odds and give you the edge to the playoffs, including their OG tips section where they'll help you find your own Super Bowl picks, as well as the inside track on how to beat the odds throughout the playoffs. Remember, onlinegambling.com/NFL to make the most out of the playoffs all the way up through the Super Bowl. And if you're looking for some upside in your life, how about the Get Upside app? Available on the App Store or Google Play. It's for anyone who ever fills any kind of vehicle with gasoline. Because listeners of Locked On Bears who download the Get Upside app are making up to 25 cents cash back per gallon for every gallon of gas every time you fill up. It's super easy. And some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The money goes right into your Get Upside account, and then you can cash out at any time, right to your bank account for direct deposit. If you'd rather go through PayPal, or even they'll do e-gift cards for online retailers like Amazon and other stores. So super easy. All you got to do, Google Play or App Store, download the Get Upside app. Don't forget to enter in our promo code TOUCHDOWN, and they're going to give you some bonus cash back on your first fill up. So if you enter the promo code TOUCHDOWN on the Get Upside app, you're going to go up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. And of course, up to 25 cents per gallon cash back on every tank from there on out. Just download the Get Upside app, promo code TOUCHDOWN. Like the general manager, there's no perfect formula to picking the correct head coach. But I do think a lot of those same themes that we talked about with the GM are universal, regardless of whether you're looking at an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, or a special teams coach. Although up to this point, the Bears have not publicly, it has not been publicly reported any specific special teams coaches that the Bears are interviewing for their head coaching position. But unlike the GM candidates, right, the head coaching names are those that might be a little bit more familiar to you, right? I mean, I don't know who Glenn Cook is, the GM, the vice president of player personnel for the Browns, but I know every head coaching candidate. We've got Leslie Frazier, Bills defensive coordinator, Philadelphia Eagles ex-head coach Doug Peterson. We've got the Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. You got both Buccaneers coordinators, Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles. You got the Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, the former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, and then the Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn and the Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, right? Most of those names are at least somewhat familiar to most of us. And regardless of where you're trying to pick, I still want the same ideas of leadership. Be a strong leader, step for step in with your general manager and sharing that direction, identity, and plan. Again, those types of characteristics I want very clearly laid out in my interview with these coaches. Because I think, you know, when we think about Matt Nagy, for example, as a comparison point for what we're looking for in a candidate versus maybe what the Bears didn't have in their last guy, I think Matt Nagy had pretty solid leadership, at least in terms of the locker room, right? The players played hard for him down to the very end. They were able to band together pretty well. I mean, occasional things here and there, but like for the most part, from what we could tell, it seemed like the leadership aspect was more or less there to varying degrees. There are better leaders and worse leaders for sure. A direction for the team, sort of. I mean, there was sort of a direction for where they wanted the offense to go. Maybe it wasn't the right direction, but there was a general type of direction of, well, you know, wanting to get the offense. They were able to identify that, hey, they needed to be better on third downs in the red zone. They just weren't able to actually get better at it. So the direction was sort of there. The problem was offensive identity was very hard to come by. And even when it felt like they found it for a little bit, they got away from it again and just really, really wasn't there. And as far as a plan, they had a plan for Andy Dalton, but it was just so narrow, right? It seemed like all of their planning tended to sort of account, you know, need things to go right, and they didn't have contingencies and backup plans and have an identity to fall back on when that plan doesn't quite work. But I think those things are so much more important than, like, is he good at offense? Is he good at defense? Or I guess, would he be good at special teams if that was the case? Because, like, there are other aspects of the head coaching position that you just can't know from a candidate who's never been a head coach before. Like when you think about the game management stuff, you know, discipline, penalties, I mean, you just don't know what if he needs the coordinator for another team, how well they're going to handle that stuff. I suppose you look at Brian Flores and Doug Peterson as former head coaches, you can then tell, okay, how well were they at using their timeouts effectively and not wasting time at the end of halves or wasting timeouts and burning clock in bad situations? You know, how do they handle game situation things? When do they settle for field goals in the red zone versus going for it on fourth down? Are they smart about when they do that and when they do settle for field goals? Are they overly aggressive? Are they the right amount aggressive? Are they too conservative? You know, how do they fit in those types of things? You can see some examples of that with Flores and Peterson, not so much with offensive and defensive coordinators that have never been a head coach before. You know, really, it's for me, it's about, are they able to then, in their coordinators' roles, put their best players or put their players in the best position to be successful? Whether you're the offensive coordinator and putting your offensive players in that spot, your defensive coordinator putting your defensive players in that spot, how well were you able to do that? Because, you know, I think about Matt Nagy coming over as an offensive coordinator. Didn't feel like they really were able to put Justin Fields now in the best position to be successful. Took them a while to put Mitch Trubisky in the best position to be successful. Seemed like too often the offensive line was not given the help it needed to be in the best position to be successful. Allen Robinson, clearly not being put in the best position to be successful. David Montgomery was sometimes. It seemed like Darnell Mooney was sometimes. It wasn't all nothing for Matt Nagy in that category, but like it's kind of a vague, hard to measure thing, but you just have to sort of look at the candidate and look at the players that have been on their rosters and say, okay, did it seem like they were getting the most out of these players? Especially, I think, getting the most out of lesser players is where I look for the measuring stick. Because, you know, we've seen coaches that like coach a bunch of really, really talented roster and they're great. And then, you know, you go to another team and the talent's not quite as robust and they just can't do it because it was the players that were really good and easy to work with. But I want the coach that has, you know, takes a player who's maybe lesser known or is underachieved and gets more out of them. And certainly didn't see a lot of that from Matt Nagy necessarily. There wasn't a lot of guys that you can point to that like really developed and got better, right? That's what I want to see from a coaching candidate. Guys that came to their organization and maybe weren't that good, got better over time and grew as players, and not just the rookies who were good as rookies and then continued to get better, like David Montgomery and Darnell Mooney. They were really good right away. So of course they also get better because they're already good players, and it's hard to really say like coaching staff did that. Whereas I don't want to see players leave a team and go be better somewhere else. You know, if you look at guys who underachieved under whatever coaching candidate and then went on to other teams and then achieved at a greater level, like kind of point to Cordarrelle Patterson leaving Chicago this year and having a great year in Atlanta. Charles Leno leaving Chicago this year, having a really strong bounce back year in Washington and getting a contract extension. You know, those types of things you would look for as potential red flags for candidates. Again, regardless of whether they're an offensive or defensive coordinator. But I also think there are important aspects of them as a coordinator that are going to be important when they come to Chicago to lead your team, specifically on that side of the ball being their expertise. We'll dive into some of the specific offensive and defensive things we should be looking for in the next Bears head coach next on Locked On Bears. Our friends over at betonline.ag have been putting out odds for who the Bears' next head coach is going to be. And the lines have moved, actually, a little bit here since we first started talking about it on this podcast and as the interviews and candidates have kind of come in. Right now, Brian Flores is your betting favorite at BetOnline at plus 300, followed by Nathaniel Hackett and Todd Bowles tied for second, then Leslie Frazier, Jim Harbaugh, and Brian Daboll in that order. If you've got a hunch, you got a feeling about this Bears head coaching search and you want to get some money down, it's a great way to win some real cash on a fun prop bet. Head on over to betonline.ag and sign up today for a free account. When you do, enter in our promo code LOCKEDON and you're going to receive a free 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can use for any bets, not only football and the Bears head coaching search, but basketball, soccer, hockey, tennis, boxing, baseball when that comes back, even your favorite Vegas online casino game. So don't wait to take advantage of the Locked On promo code offer, 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline, where the game starts. This new year has started for me with some goals to maybe eat a little bit healthier and get in a little bit better shape. And one of the best ways I think will help me through this is our friends at Built Bar, the world's best tasting protein bars, because they don't taste like other protein bars on the market. They taste like candy bars. And every Built Bar is covered in 100% real chocolate, head to toe, all over. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and it's such a sweet, guilt-free treat where I can get my, and you know, I can feel my craving for that sort of sweet tooth feeling, but best part is low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein. It's really a cheat dessert, a snack in the middle of the day. I have to limit myself to eating just one per day because they taste so good. I mean, they're good for me, but I'll blow through them way too fast and have to spend all my money on Built Bars. So head on over to Built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. And you can reuse that promo code for multiple orders. I have over the last few years. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. We want to see a head coach that's going to build the Chicago Bears the right way. And even though George McCaskey gave a non-answer about Justin Fields, that's going to be sort of the first and foremost question for head coaches. What do you think about Justin Fields? What are you going to do to put him in the best position to be successful? What is the plan there? Whether you're an offensive coach or a defensive coach, certainly I think as a defensive coach, it's going to make your potential offensive coordinator hire that much more important. But even if you're an offensive coach, the Bears are going to want to know what your plan is for defense, right? Defense matters in this city to this organization and in football in general, let alone, you know, let alone the Chicago Bears. But I think there's a few things if we start, like, say, offensive coach, because some of those betting favorites we talked about, Hackett, well, I guess some of the betting favorites, it's pretty split down the line, I guess. But the names we heard, you know, Hackett, Dable, Peterson, Leftwich, you know, some offensive coaches definitely at the top in this potential mix here for the Bears. And I think it's not as simple as, like, you know, do you know, like running versus passing and Matt Nagy getting too run heavy versus too pass happy, and not enough for the running game. It's more about, I think, you know, knowing when to run, when to pass, you know, how to help your quarterback, how to empower your offensive line, how to get receivers open. Again, players in the best position to be successful. And, you know, if you're a team with a really good quarterback and really good wide receivers, then, you know, you need to pass and maybe you don't need to run nearly all that much. Or, you know, if you're a team like the Bears the past few seasons with subpar quarterback play, with also good running backs, then you need to know when to run and when the running game needs to be an important part of your offense. And it's about that idea of the play calling rhythm and the game flow. And so much of that is going to be really hard to tell without diving deep into their film, right? Looking at their games, breaking down the tape, looking at their play calls, charting some things out and saying, okay, here's how Brian Dable handled those types of situations in Buffalo. You can't just look at passing stats and say, oh, well, they finished 10th, 7th, and 4th. Or what? I mean, I don't know the Bills ranks, but you can't pick a coach and say, well, they finished three times in the top 10 in passing, so therefore he's a good offensive coordinator. Like, to really know, you have to sit down with the film and kind of go through and evaluate their players and how they're being used and figure out what the play call is based on the route concepts and what the blocking scheme is, the running game, and then really get a sense of it. And we heard George McCaskey, the man who is going to make the final decision, who said, it's my decision, it lands with me, the buck stops with me, and it's going to be my decision overall. I'll have the panel to help me, but it falls on me to say he's a fan, not a football evaluator. So George McCaskey's not going to be doing the film study to tell whether Byron Leftwich is really a good offensive coordinator or not. Will Bill Polian? I mean, he certainly has the evaluative background and brain to be able to have the knowledge to make those types of evaluations. Do they have time to do that for all the different candidates they're going to interview? I mean, or have they been doing that ahead of time? I mean, maybe. We don't know. I mean, I don't know what Bill Polian's process is going to be there, but I don't know if there are enough people involved in this hiring process that will have done the types of evaluations necessary to know whether these coordinators are truly good at offensive coordinating. Because you also want to look at, you know, are these offensive coordinators that have been underneath an offensive head coach versus an offensive coordinator who's been under a defensive coach and been truly involved in the offense. You know, like Nathaniel Hackett of the Packers, Byron Leftwich of the Buccaneers, both have offensive head coaches ahead of them who kind of bear the brunt of the offense, much like Matt Nagy had Andy Reid in Kansas City. Whereas I think, you know, Brian Dable in Buffalo, it's all his offense, and he gets the credit and the blame for a lot of that. And that's not a foolproof thing, right? It's not like other coaches have come from underneath the umbrella of, you know, an offensive coach under an offensive head coach and been very good on their own, right? It's not a cut and dry, like those candidates work and those candidates don't, but it's part of the evaluation and part of the consideration there. I mean, none of these potential traits here are foolproof indicators that they're going to be a good head coach. But at least you do want some indications that if you're going to hire an offensive coordinator, that he's going to be a good person to lead your offense, right? If you hire an offensive head coach, he's not good at offense, how much value is he giving you? I mean, look at Matt Nagy, right? I mean, he had a good defense because he picked a good defensive coordinator, which is value, but like you needed Matt Nagy to be a good offensive person, and it just did not work out that way. Of course, head coach is more than just leading those two sides of the ball, but it's a big part of why you're hiring them in the first place. Like, you know, same kind of thing with the defensive coach, right? It's not as simple as saying like, okay, did Brian Flores' defenses rank in the top 10 in run and pass, right? Or, you know, was Todd Bowles a top five defense? How many years? Is that a good enough way to say he's a great defensive coach? Well, I think there's more to it than that, right? You can't just look at the numbers. You can't look at, say, like turnovers, for example. No team maintains a high level of turnovers consistently enough. You want a defensive coach who's flexible, a defensive coach who grows, right? Again, thinking open-minded. Same with the offensive coordinator too, but like the defense in particular is a part where I think we see some coaches get too stuck in their scheme and their way, more so than we do on offense. But I want a guy who will fit their scheme to the talents of the players that they have and also adapt it to the offensive trends that we're seeing in the NFL. And again, this is something that's very, very hard to tell. You can't tell based on stats. You need to look in the film and look at their scheme over the course of years and how did their scheme adapt to the players that you're seeing on film and how did the scheme change from earlier coaching jobs they did to where they are now. And again, George McCaskey's not going to be doing that. Is Bill Polian? Hopefully. I mean, that's what Bears fans should be hoping for, but it's hard to know whether, again, they have time to go through that. Like you think back to Chuck Pagano, sometimes it felt like he was a little bit too stuck in some of the things he wanted to do schematically, and it's part of why things got a little bit stale. Whereas, and I think Vic Fangio has done a good job. It's like he still has his philosophies, but we've seen his defenses shift over the years and the types of coverages that they've used. You know, he used to be much higher in the cover six and some of the, I mean, he still goes too deep most of the time, but switching back from cover six to being more of a cover two and a little bit less of the quarters type coverages is just, you know, he's keeping up with the times and growing and not being too predictable. It's also why I think Dan Quinn is a fairly enticing candidate. I mean, for this specific reason, I mean, there's other flaws that he struggled as a head coach and has struggled at times as a defensive coordinator. But like when he was in Seattle, he was a strictly single deep safety cover three architect of that Legion of Boom defense type coach. I mean, that's what he did. And never since he's come to Dallas and as he transitioned through Atlanta, like he has changed his scheme a bunch and runs a lot more two deep coverages and has clearly been able to have the humility and the leadership to say, you know what I was doing before isn't working in the NFL anymore. Offense has figured out how to attack that defense. It's one of the main major trends that we've seen over the last decade of like, oh, every team was running single deep, so offense has figured out how to attack the seams and go vertical and stretch those coverages. And now the two deep is back, which was what Fangio does. And Quinn has recognized that and adapted to that. And this is not my endorsement of Bears should hire Dan Quinn. I mean, I think there's other candidates I might like more, and there's other flaws with Dan Quinn, but it's that type of thing I'd be looking for in a defensive coordinator to know when to blitz, know when not to blitz, know when to go two deep coverages, know when single deep is going to be better, know when you need to be aggressive in press man coverage, and when you need to be in off coverage, and when certain opponents might dictate that, when your own personnel might dictate that. I mean, it's all about that idea of growth and open-mindedness. I want that in my coach, whether an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. I want that leadership. I want the direction. I want that identity on both sides of the ball. And I want a plan. And I want good coordinators. I mean, you want all of these different things. And no candidate is going to check all of those boxes. Not all of those things are easy to tell just in an interview process. That's why every team or most teams have always historically struggled to find great head coaches and general managers. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And instead, it's definitely a difficult process. But that's why we're keeping a close eye on how that process is going to keep going. We'll break down some of these candidates a little bit more in depth as the process goes along right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for following along, making Locked On Bears your first listen today and every day. If you're looking for more, your second listen perhaps today, all across the Locked On Podcast Network, we have you covered. Plus, all your Chicago sports, Locked On Bulls, Locked On Cubs, Locked On White Sox, Locked On Blackhawks, and so much more. Plus, Locked On NFL for your national football coverage. I mean, we've got you covered. Your team every day is the Locked On Podcast Network. And we will be on top of any and all Bears updates and developments in this search every day. I hope you'll keep coming back. I hope you'll keep tuning in. And hopefully, in exchange, Locked On Bears will make it that much easier for you to bear down.